There are days when we all need some time in a beautiful place just to clear our heads. Welcome, everyone. I'm McDaniel Phillips, and this is Times of Refreshing, a ministry of Bethesda Hall in partnership with TWR Asia. Our host is author, teacher, and itinerant speaker, Kenneth Wong. You know, one of my dear friends has, on occasion, invited me to join him on a spiritual retreat. And I think you would agree that all of us, at some time or another, need to retreat to a beautiful place just to clear our heads. But is that a real retreat? In just a moment, Kenneth examines the promise of rest found in Hebrews chapter 4, which is available to all of God's people in part one of the program titled, A Real Retreat.
Hello everyone again. I trust this finds you well. I guess that from time to time, most of us would relish having a real retreat, just getting away from the routine, problems and pressures of life, and hoping to come back refreshed and rejuvenated. And this is what I want to talk about in this series. What constitutes a real retreat? Many lives resemble confetti. You know, those bits of colored paper that people throw out at parties or celebrations. Confetti lives are scattered lives, drifting downward without any sense of connectedness. The world around us rushes on at its frantic and frenetic pace, leaving many feeling fragmented and fragile in its wake. While that may leave us with a longing to get away somewhere, at least for a time, to seek some respite, have you ever had a real retreat to recover the rest that Jesus gives? This is best captured in the memorable lines of this classic hymn, "Jesus, I am resting, resting in the joy of who Thou art. I am finding out the greatness of Thy loving heart." So it begs the question, am I resting in the joy of who Jesus is? And am I finding out the greatness of His loving heart? Jesus said at the end of Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 to 30, "Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." In this series of messages, I'm going to deal with three parts to what makes a real retreat. We can compare this to what happens at a traffic light. First, we stop at the red lights, and then we get ready when the light turns amber. And finally, we go when it turns green. So these three parts correspond to looking inward, looking upward, and finally, looking forward. And these three aspects are to rest, to reflect, and to renew. So let's begin with considering rest today. The first thing about rest is to recognize the promise of rest that God has given us. And the place that best describes this is given to us in the New Testament in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 1. "Therefore, since a promise remains of entering His rest, let us fear lest any of you seem to have come short of it." We are told here that there is a promise of rest. This promise still stands and is available to all of the Lord's people today. But instead of restfulness, we often see restlessness and sometimes even recklessness everywhere. And hence we are exhorted in the first verse to fear or to be careful lest any of you seem to come short of it, that is, fail to possess this privilege or promise. We are to examine and to evaluate ourselves to see if we have failed to claim the promise or whether we have fallen short of it in experience. Now, a promise is a word of God which we can possess in experience, and this is done through faith and obedience. Verse 2, "For indeed the gospel was preached to us, as well as to them. But the word which they heard did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in those who heard it. The them and us here refers to those who truly know the Lord and those who claim or profess to know but deny Him in practice, in reality, and in experience. And to such we're told that the message they heard was of no value to them because it was not mixed or combined with faith. Verse 3, "For we who have believed do enter that rest, as He has said, so I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest, although the works were finished from the foundation of the world." This is a promise and a privilege for every believer. And the reason for missing out is simply unbelief. That's an absence or a lack of faith. Faith is the basic requirement for entering in, as well as experiencing continually God's promises. It's a basic attitude towards God's word. The first step to recovering rest must surely be to recognize what God says in His word about rest, and then to act on it by faith. Down in verse 6 it says, "Since therefore it remains that some must enter it, and those to whom it was first preached did not enter because of disobedience." Again, he designates a certain day, saying in David, "Today, after such a long time as it has been said, today, if you will hear His voice, do not harden your hearts." The children of Israel at first failed to enter the promised land under Moses because of disobedience. And that fundamental lesson still applies to one and all. We're not to harden our heart to God's word when we hear it today. Now imagine if you have been informed about an unclaimed price which you are entitled to today. I guess you would try to go at once, or if not as soon as possible, to claim it. This illustrates and underlines the important spiritual principle of obeying instantly and immediately. Often hearts get hardened simply by not doing anything about it immediately. We cannot remain neutral to the truth. You see, we can be either hardened or softened by the truth. The term free thinker is often used, and I used to think of myself as one as well. But really, there is no such thing as a free thinker. In claiming to be a free thinker, a person is actually rejecting God, and at the same time, is in reality a slave to his own thinking. So indifference or indecision is by default really disobedience. Not deciding or deciding not to makes us just as culpable as deciding against. We are not absolved by doing nothing. You cannot remain neutral when confronted by the truth. Verses 9 and 10, "There remains therefore a rest for the people of God. For he who has entered his rest has himself also ceased from his works, as God did from his." If we are to enter into God's rest, it means ceasing from our own or self-works. God's design and decree is for an ordered life which is self-renewing through rest. We need to maintain this rhythm and routine in life through a proper balance of work and rest. There are two kinds of problems relating to work and rest that are normally encountered. One, there are people who cannot start working. You know, there's a tendency to loaf around and daydream when we should really be working. These are people who worry unnecessarily. You may call them worryholics. And second, there are those who cannot stop working. They have the tendency to keep on working when it's time to stop. And these we commonly call workaholics. Neither of these conditions are good for us, nor are they intended by God for us. Spiritual rest can be defined and described as the presence of peace within us, rather than an absence of activity without us. So it's something internal rather than external. Here are some signs and symptoms of restfulness versus restlessness, and they are always easier to see in others than ourselves. First, rest is characterized by being collected. That is, the sense of being gathered into one place, what we sometimes call self-possession, versus restlessness, which is characterized by being dissipated. That is, the sense of being empty or feeling void. So, collected versus dissipated. Second, we have connected versus disconnected. When we feel a sense of being alienated, lonely, or fragmented in life. And thirdly, contented versus discontented, where we feel anxious and unfulfilled in life. So that's what spiritual rest can bring. It helps to make us collected, connected, and contented in the way that God has designed for us. One of the main reasons contributing to the sense of restlessness in modern life is that people are often driven by constant changes in the external environment. The greater the pace and intensity of change, the more it exacerbates or aggravates the sense of restlessness. And this in turn induces a reaction which results in constant movement but without any real direction or destination. And we need to understand that this kind of random motion is not helpful or productive. It reminds me of one of those perpetual motion gadgets or machines that just keeps moving but doesn't really do anything or get anywhere. People can have an amazing capacity to come up with substitute actions. And that's dangerous because they soon become addictions, which people resort to fill the void or to help seek fulfillment in a wrong way. And this is essentially what extreme shopaholics and workaholics do. There are substitute actions which become addictions. Reading on in verse 11 of Hebrews 4, "Let us therefore be diligent to enter that rest, lest anyone fall according to the same example of disobedience." There's no contradiction of terms here. Let us labor or be diligent or make every effort to ensure that we enter into that rest and not be left out. We have to work hard at it to make sure that we have the divine rest of the right kind. We never slip unconsciously or accidentally into claiming God's promises. It always comes by deliberate and diligent effort. And likewise, we have to work hard at the Word of God, which is described in the next verse 12. "For the Word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit and of joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. And there is no creature hidden from His sight, but all things are naked and open to the eyes of Him to whom we must give account." God's Word is like a mirror to help us see what is wrong when we cannot see it ourselves. It is like a gate by which we can enter and experience God's rest. And a good and practical way is simply to meditate on God's Word, to let it penetrate and evaluate us or judge our actions. We allow it to uncover and lay bare our souls, and thus we can claim the promises of His rest by exercising faith in the Word of God. So that's the first aspect of rest, the promise of rest. Second, let's consider the premise of rest. Now, a premise is something set forth beforehand as introductory to the main subject. What I mean by this is that we are going to go back to the Old Testament, where God instituted the Sabbath rest in His laws. These are His divine decrees, which are designed for rest. In Exodus chapter 23, we find the law of Sabbaths described and instituted. First in Exodus chapter 23, verse 10, "6 years you shall sow your land and gather in its produce, but the seventh year you shall let it rest and lie fallow, that the poor of your people may eat, and what they leave the beasts of the field may eat. In like manner you shall do with your vineyard and your olive grove." So first of all, we have here being described for us a Sabbath seventh year, and this is for the land to lie fallow, that is to rest without being plowed and cultivated. And then secondly, in verse 12, 6 days you shall do your work, and on the seventh day you shall rest, that your ox and your donkey may rest, and the son of your female servant and the stranger may be refreshed. So in this second instance, we have a Sabbath, seventh day, and that's for man and animals to rest. So we find that the principle of Sabbath rest is extended to all of God's creation, not just for man. It's also for animals, for the land. Every seventh year for the land to rest, and every seventh day for men and for animals to rest. The purpose is that they may all be refreshed for more productive work. So we find God's decrees requiring a built-in capacity for self-renewal through regular rest. It's built in and designed into the system. One thing about rest is that it cannot be hoarded or stored up, just like sleep. It needs to be regularly scheduled. But resting time is not wasting time. Proper and balanced rest is critical to sustaining productivity and efficiency. And we find this designed into planned maintenance of manufacturing operations as well. Here is a further interesting remark from Exodus chapter 34, verse 21, which says, 6 days you shall work, but on the seventh day you shall rest. In plowing time and in harvest you shall rest. While people are always happy to have a shorter work week, you find that actually a six-day work week is biblical. It's not a good idea to have too many days of idle laying off, because you lose the momentum of work and it's hard to get started again. Rest only works in conjunction with work. If you haven't worked the 6 days, you will not appreciate or benefit from the rest day on the seventh. But the point I want to register from this verse is something else. It's the imperative of resting even during the plowing and the harvest seasons. And you know, in an agricultural economy, what these seasons are. These are the busiest and the peak seasons of work, when you almost feel you must work round the clock. But yet, the command here is that you still must rest, even if it is during the plowing or the harvest seasons. So no matter how demanding the period seems, you must still rest. It's not just something nice to have, but it's something that you need to have. You need to rest as much as you need to eat. If we overlook spiritual rest, we may find ourselves overtaken in our capacity and ability to serve well. We all need our daily as well as weekly Sabbath rest, so to speak. In the natural, daily we need sleep, but we also need to spend time alone with God in prayer, worship, and meditation and feeding on the Word of God. And on a weekly basis, the Sabbath rest indicates that we should also spend time assembling and meeting with the church on the Lord's days, on Sundays, in corporate worship and teaching from the Word of God. So there are daily and weekly rest cycles to be observed, and we should observe them consistently, no matter how busy the time of the year is or the season is. It is tempting, almost justifiable, to skip your morning watch with God or to skip attending church on a Sunday when the schedule of work is really demanding. But we neglect these things at our own peril and to our own hurt. And the more regularly or consistently we observe this, the less need we will feel for a getaway or a holiday to recover because we feel depleted. While we may no longer be bound to observe the literal Sabbath laws of the Old Testament, yet the principle of the Sabbath rest remains valid and is equally applicable today. May you continue to experience God's rest as you are refreshed by His presence and reached by His Word.
Spiritual rest can be defined and described as the presence of peace within rather than the absence of activity without. Thank you for thy good word, Kenneth. This is Times of Refreshing, a ministry of Bethesda Hall in partnership with TWR Asia. And join us again tomorrow when Ken continues with part two of the series called A Real Retreat. Right now, though, we would love to hear from you, and I have several ways through which you can be in contact. You can send us a text message at 9431-3813, or you can write to us at Post Office Box 392, Thompson Road Post Office, Singapore 915-714. You can go to our Facebook page and leave your comments there or share some views with some of the other folks you see. Also, I invite you to visit our website, www.timesofrefreshing.asia, where you can listen to the program right online. And Times of Refreshing has launched an iPhone app that allows users to directly access the broadcast messages and the podcasts right from their iPhones. I'm McDaniel Phillips, inviting you to join us again for Times of Refreshing.